The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Florence Nash from Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from AARP Magazine, the February-March issue, and maybe a little bit from the AARP Bulletin. We'll see how it goes. But we're going to start off with an article from the magazine under their personal best section, My Long Goodbye. This is called The Memory Keeper. Novelist Warren Adler carries a lifetime of highs and lows alone. Warren Adler, who is 91, is the author of The War of the Roses. His new novel, Last Call, deals with a late life love affair. And he writes, on my 67th wedding anniversary, I visited the facility where my wife lives with other dementia patients. As usual, she did not recognize me. She barely speaks. I do not believe she suffers emotional distress, but I do. Witnessing her decline is debilitating. I kept her at home with around-the-clock care until 2 years ago, when it became unsafe for her to stay there because she had become aggressive and would wander. Now I live alone in the home we shared, and I am trying to cope with the bruising experience of loneliness. I am told it is a curable malady, and I am following the advice of others. I made my living as an author and playwright, and I continue to write, exercise daily, and force myself to socialize. I am told it will take time. I am 91. How much time? I often go to visit Sonia with our oldest son, who, like me, lives in Manhattan. Having him along eases the trauma of what I must confront. For this support, I am beyond grateful. Mostly, I see my wife through a veil of tears, which I try desperately to hide. I reckon I have shed more tears during the past 5 years of her battle with dementia than I have through any other phase of my life. All lives have their moments of pain, angst, trouble, and strife. Mine is no exception, although on balance, the rewards have far, far outweighed the punishments. Still, the most consistent fact of my life has been the long and loving relationship I have had with my gorgeous, devoted, adored, and adoring best friend. Not merely the love of my life, but the North Star by which I navigated. Indeed, whatever modest success I have had in the pursuit of my dreams, I owe totally to her, though not for the reasons one might suspect. Of course, I wanted to succeed as a writer, but not at all for the traditional plaudits of the crowd. Instead, it was to make her proud, to validate her lifelong belief in my pursuits. In turn, I reveled in her spectacular successes as a journalist in Washington, where she covered the lives of the Capitol's movers and shakers. The profound irony of these terrible last moments of our charmed life together is that while her memories of those days have passed on to oblivion, mine remain intact and, by some odd miracle, enhanced. I can remember every facet of our life together, from my first glimpse of her lying on a beach blanket at age 19 in a pristine white bathing suit, a stunning, slender beauty who put Cupid's dart right in the solar plexus of my 22-year-old self, a dart that's never been dislodged in nearly 7 decades. It would be natural to dub this vivid recall an extraordinary gift, but I must confess that it has become more of a burden. Where has my sweetheart gone? Yet she is alive. Her heart beats, and believe me, some remnant of her beauty remains, though the memories that are so intense and rich to me are totally gone for her. I am imprisoned in an empty cell. Still, when I see her, when I think of her, every sense of her returns. The touch of her, the wondrous sweet smell of her, our interactions in the bed we shared for multiple decades, the random embrace in the dead of night knowing she was beside me, the steady sound of her breathing, the simple act of hand-holding, and, yes, the caresses, knowing I was not alone. We were bonded together in a lifelong contract, a commitment to the joint pursuit of parenthood with all its joys and responsibilities. how we both worried about every facet of the lives of our three boys, not only the perils of infancy, but far beyond. Parenthood is a never-ending condition of childbearing. Sonia and I went through our lives with our arms wrapped around each other. It is an apt metaphor, since our worries were always joint worries. All mundane family business was a shared enterprise. I have learned, too, that memories often bring back the hard parts of marriage, arguments, anger, when we might have questioned the extent of our feelings for each other. But here is a lesson that can be learned only when one reaches the distant borders of life. Like the ocean, love has its high and low tides, controlled by some mysterious force. There's nothing like the ecstasy of the high tides of devotion, but one must also contend with the low tides when doubts arise. The truest love requires the patience to wade through those low tides, knowing the high tides will come again. The irony of the end game is that the high tide is at its highest, and there is no low tide. Today, my total recall feels like a curse, but I am hopeful that someday, like the tides, that feeling will recede, and I will still have our memories. My most fervent wish is that at some point before my sweetheart's demise, the dark clouds will lift, her eyes will brighten, and for even one brief moment, she will smile at me and squeeze my hand in recognition. And now from their Healthy You section is an article that's headed Seven Numbers That Reveal Your Heart Disease Risk. What are your chances of having a heart attack or stroke? These measurements can offer a clue and a path to better health. And this is written by Stephen Perrine. Debbie Schreckengast knows she should have seen the warning signs. When she looks back at 2014, the year she suffered a stroke, Schreckengast, 56, sees a stubborn old donkey in denial about her health. I had let my blood pressure go uncontrolled and I remained overweight for so long, she says. Schreckengast, who lives in Lafargeville, New York, joined an American Heart Association program sponsored by her hospital that eased her into an exercise routine. She took nutrition classes, dropped 30 pounds, and no longer needs blood pressure medication. Of course, it's easy to measure how much weight you've lost or how much faster you can jog a mile. It's harder to calculate whether your heart is getting healthier. But if you know what markers to keep an eye on with your doctor, you can tell whether your ticker is getting stronger or weaker as time goes by. Here are the numbers you need to know. Cholesterol, the number to know, less than 240. The body produces two main types of cholesterol, LDL, the bad cholesterol, and HDL, the good type. Measured together, along with 20% of your triglyceride score, they add up to your total cholesterol level. An ideal cholesterol score is 200 or less. Between 200 and 239 is borderline high. Go over 240, however, and you have high cholesterol. In most cases, your physician will be focused on tamping down your LDL, which can clog up arteries, including those that feed your heart and brain. The good cholesterol can help eliminate the bad, but only to a degree. Beat your score. Have a meatless Monday. You know the diet drill. Limit red meat and full-fat dairy foods and eat more whole grains and produce. To make it easier, try celebrating Meatless Monday. Originally conceived to aid the war effort in World War I, it was revived by health advocates in 2003 to fight a different enemy. Just one meatless day a week will help. Next week, see if you can make it two, and get more exercise. Exercise appears to enhance your muscles' ability to use blood lipids for energy. Studies suggest that the ideal workout plan consists of 30 minutes of exercise 5 days a week, combining moderate aerobic activity and moderate to high intensity resistance training. Blood pressure, the number to know, less than 130/80. Blood pressure is the force of blood pushing against the walls of your blood vessels. When it runs consistently high, it strains the heart and arteries. High blood pressure or hypertension is often called the silent killer because it usually lacks obvious symptoms, yet nearly half of all U.S. adults have high blood pressure. When left uncontrolled, it is a major risk factor for heart attack, stroke, heart failure, and kidney disease. Blood pressure is defined as high if the top number is 130 or above, or the bottom number is 80 or higher. Beat your score. Cook at home. You're familiar with the link between sodium and blood pressure and why it's important to cut down on salt. What you might not know is that more than 70% of your sodium intake comes from food prepared outside the home, ordered in a restaurant, or bought in a package. Cooking with simple, healthy ingredients is the biggest dietary step you can take toward lowering your blood pressure and improving your heart health. While you're at it, look for sources of potassium, a mineral found in many fruits and vegetables, especially sweet potatoes, bananas, spinach, and avocados. Increasing your potassium can help to lower your sodium level. Next is resting heart rate. The number to know, 60 to 100. Your resting heart rate is simply how many times your heart beats per minute while you're at rest. A lower resting heart rate is associated with a lower risk of death. That's because a lower rate is usually a sign of greater cardiovascular fitness. Athletes, for example, are more likely to have a low resting heart rate because they're in better physical shape. Certain medications, including beta blockers used to control blood pressure, can also lower heart rate. A condition known as bradycardia, in which the heart rate is too slow, occurs most often in older people. Beat your score. Go for a brisk walk. A good time to check your resting heart rate is first thing in the morning before getting out of bed. Check it regularly. An exercise monitor can help, but you can do it easily without one. Just take your pulse for 15 seconds and multiply by 4. If you notice that the rate is beginning to trend upward, you may need to boost how much you're exercising. A rise in resting heart rate over a 10-year period was associated with an increased risk of death, according to a study of more than 29,000 participants that was published in the medical journal JAMA. For most people, a resting heart rate between 60 and 100 beats per minute is considered normal, but stress, hormones, and medication can affect your rate. Although taking a brisk walk, swim, or bike ride raises your heart rate temporarily, these activities make the heart more efficient over time. They may also help you lose weight, which can reduce your risk. If you are overweight or obese, your heart has to work to pump extra blood through your larger frame. Over time, an overworked heart muscle gets thicker, which can lead to heart failure. Next is blood glucose level. The number to know? Less than 100. Your blood sugar level can fluctuate depending on the time of day, what you eat, and when you eat. That's why a fasting blood glucose test is the most commonly used way to take a reading. You want to see a number less than 100. The body's inability to regulate blood glucose is the primary component of diabetes. As the digestive system breaks down food into sugar, insulin, a hormone made by the pancreas, helps transport blood glucose into your cells. Diabetes develops when there is too much sugar in the blood because the body either fails to make enough insulin or because the body's cells become resistant to it. Your doctor may also order an A1C blood test, which is the primary screening used in diagnosing and managing diabetes. The A1C test measures a person's blood sugar levels over the previous 3 months, and a normal A1C reading is below 5.7%. Beat your score. Double down on vitamin D. A low-fat, low-sugar, high-protein diet with plenty of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains is the best dietary prescription for keeping blood sugar in check. Ensuring you get enough vitamin D is also critical. In studies, those with the highest levels of vitamin D in their bodies had the lowest risk of developing diabetes. Consider taking a D supplement of between 800 and 2,000 IU per day, and focus on eating high-protein foods such as dairy products fortified with vitamin D. Body mass index, the number to know, 18.5 to 24.9. Body mass index, or BMI, is a screening tool often used to determine body fat. It's a ratio of weight to height that, when too high, can classify someone as overweight or obese. The higher the BMI, the greater the risk for heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, certain cancers, and other chronic illnesses. The National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute offers an online calculator to estimate your BMI. Generally, a BMI score between 18.5 and 24.9 indicates normal weight. Someone with a BMI between 25 and 29.9 is considered overweight. A score of 30 or higher is considered obese, a major risk factor for heart disease. But BMI doesn't always accurately reflect a person's body composition. Athletes and other people with very muscular builds may have a high BMI but little body fat. On the other end of the spectrum, BMI may underestimate body fat in older individuals who have lost a lot of muscle mass. Beat your score. You lose a little weight. If your BMI is too high, set realistic short and long-term goals for dropping the excess pounds through healthy eating and exercise. Shedding as little as 5% of your body weight can result in significant changes to your health. Then we have waist circumference. The numbers to know, 40 for men and 35 for women. Some experts consider waist circumference a better way to measure body fat than relying on BMI alone, and people who carry fat around their abdomen instead of on the hips or elsewhere are at greater risk for heart disease and type 2 diabetes. To measure your natural waist, grab an old-fashioned tape measure and stand without pushing out or sucking in your belly. Wrap the tape measure around your torso just above your hip bones. If you lean to one side, a crease forms at the point of your natural waist. Exhale, then measure. In general, men should aim for a waist circumference of less than 40 inches, while women should shoot for less than 35 inches. Beat your score. Walk quickly and slowly. Studies have found that mixing brief bouts of fast walking, running, or biking with longer stretches of slower-paced exercise is more effective at burning abdominal fat than only steady-state exercise. VO2 max, the numbers to know. More than 24.4 for men, more than 18.3 for women. Unless you're an athlete, you've probably never been tested for VO2 max. But this measurement can give you a unique perspective on your aerobic fitness. The higher the number, the healthier your overall cardiovascular system. The numbers above represent the 50th percentile of fitness for 70-year-olds in the United States. VO2 max is typically measured by having the subject run on a treadmill to the point of exhaustion. But researchers have developed a calculator that allows you to plug in numbers such as your waist circumference and resting heart rate to determine your VO2 max at home. When the researchers tested their calculations against participants' actual VO2 max tests, the results were remarkably accurate. The online calculator at worldfitnesslevel.org will tell you both your VO2 max score and your fitness age, giving you an idea of whether you're as young as you feel. Beat your score, get intense. Any kind of cardiovascular exercise, whether it's running, biking, even weight training, done at a high enough intensity, will help to improve your overall VO2 max score. Now, here's an interesting little sidebar to that article. This is the Hearty Head Scratcher Quiz. Many foods that seem similar deliver different nutrients. Knowing that difference may help you improve your dietary health without much effort. Nutrition experts at the American Heart Association put together a quiz to help boost your nutrition IQ. Which is better for your heart? red peppers versus green peppers? The answer is red peppers. Red peppers are ripened green peppers and pack far more nutrients for just that reason. Loaded with beta-carotene, just one half cup of red peppers delivers more than 100% of your recommended daily dose of vitamin C. Next, we've got table salt versus sea salt. The answer is table salt. Sea salt is made through evaporation of salt water. Depending on the source of the water, certain trace minerals may add flavor and color, but table salt includes added iodine, a trace mineral that aids in thyroid health. Next, we've got walnuts versus pecans. The answer is walnuts. Walnuts are an excellent source of omega-3 fatty acids. Studies have shown that they reduce total cholesterol and may even make you smarter by increasing inferential reasoning, signaling a boost for the brain. Then we have red wine vinegar versus balsamic vinegar. The answer is balsamic vinegar. It's definitely a higher calorie choice than red wine vinegar, 224 calories compared with 45 calories per cup. Balsamic vinegar, however, is also rich in minerals, including manganese, iron, and potassium. Well, that's all good to know and interesting. And now we're moving on to another article in the AARP magazine, which is Living Social at 50 Plus. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, LinkedIn. Scores of older tastemakers have become online celebrities, sharing their wit, wisdom, and style. Can you become one too? And here we have, there's a two-page spread showing, about a dozen or so people, maybe about 15 or 16 people, all of whom, for example, here is a woman with, a 90-year-old woman with 3.8 million Instagram followers. A weightlifter with 186,000 Instagram followers, a mother, a son and grandmother with 53 million YouTube views, a musician with 51 million YouTube views. So I'm not sure whether we'll get to all these profiles, but we'll dip in and talk about some of them and see how far we get. The first one is our... This is called the Mad Fashionista, and she is dazzling after 90. Her name is Helen Ruth Elam Van Winkle, and she has 3.8 million Instagram followers. And she says, "Before Instagram and Twitter, it wasn't a very good life for me, honestly. I had lost my son and my husband and was living alone and doing all the work. In 2014, at age 85, I was lying by a pool in jean shorts and a tie-dye shirt. My great-granddaughter said, 'Granna, you look so cute in that outfit. Let me take a picture.' I flashed a peace sign. She took the shot and posted it online. Within a week, thousands of people shared that photo, and after about a month, companies started calling, wanting me to wear their products. The more photos we post of me in outlandish outfits, the more crazy opportunities I get. I've done modeling. I've met pop stars who call themselves fans of mine. But my favorite reaction is from older people who see what I'm doing and feel inspired. So many folks give up on growing and changing. But now people come up and say, 'I'm 79 and I wear funny sunglasses because of you.'" And now we have a woman, this is the change agent. This is Angie Schmidt, who is 56. And she has 56 million YouTube views. "Not pausing for menopause, Angie shows women over 50 how to sizzle rather than sweat in more than 600 friendly, chatty YouTube video tutorials, all created since 2012. Then we have the super saver, blogging for bargains. Cindy Livesey, 55, has 488,000 Facebook likes. "This all started because we were living way beyond our means," she says. "Then, boom, my husband lost his job. To survive, I taught myself to use coupons every day, and that first year I saved $11,000. I started a blog, an unpaid online diary, basically, about unusual ways to save money. Out of nowhere, people started flocking to the site. It became a real community. We now have 12 people working for us." And next we have The Fly Teacher, all about the kids and looking super fine. This is Irvin Randall, who is 57 and has 204,000 Instagram followers. And he writes, I've been an elementary school teacher for 26 years, married for 31 years, and have two kids and a beautiful 5-year-old granddaughter. When she was born, she really motivated me. I was pushing 240 pounds and wanted to get myself together. I started going to the gym, laying off dessert, and jogging. I lost 30 pounds. I've always been a sharp dresser, so I started putting up pictures on Facebook of the new me. A guy asked if he could repost them on Instagram. I said, sure. That was a Tuesday night in 2016. By Wednesday morning, people were texting and emailing from all over the world. It's been a wild, wild ride. My son-in-law keeps telling me I'm a brand. If anything, I just want to inspire people to keep looking good after 50. But I'm not quitting teaching. Show me a kid reading a book and you'll see the greatest joy in my face. Then we have the gamer, William Rollins, who at 66 has 704,000 YouTube views. The retired Navy man now commands the attention of a virtual fleet of gamers who watch and learn as he expertly maneuvers the hottest online games. And then the fitness guru is Wendy Ida, who is 66 and has 30,000 Facebook likes. More than 25 years ago, I moved to California with my two kids to start over after an abusive relationship. I met a gentleman who taught me about fitness and nutrition. People noticed the physical changes and also that I seemed so much happier. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, I felt like I was born for these. To tell my story. And now we have the odd couple. My amazing grandmother, Kevin and Lillian Droniak, who are 21 and 88 respectively, have 53 million YouTube views. Kevin says, when I was 14, I started making videos of my grandma without her knowing it and uploading them to YouTube. The views kept rolling in. My grandma has too much personality to keep it just in the family. And Lil says, I knew something was up. People started recognizing me. After a while, I was like, what's going on here? Then Kevin confessed the news to me. It's great. We're famous all over Connecticut. Kevin says, all over the world, Grandma. And Lil says, that's right. Isn't that amazing? And then the last couple we're going to do, because we're running out of time. We've got a couple of celebrities here. Dolly Parton says, yeehaw, y'all. At 73, Nashville legend Dolly Parton is auntie as well as singer and actress to her 4.7 million tweeps. And Bill Gates, one of the richest men in the world, is also among the most followed, but with 46 million fans on Twitter alone. And now we have about run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Hope you'll listen next time and you've enjoyed today. I'm Florence Nash, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, which is triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you've got any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138.